in the name of Jesus. Today, we will see the revelation that is found in the written word. Our high view Jesus as he sees us in himself. He is glorified and we are edified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. So today we are better in our relationship. Stop telling me I'm better in my relationship. I don't take hasty decisions. I am led by the word. And the word alone. Matthew 28 from verse 18, just a short and quick one. Matthew 28, we are discussing on the topic, the new creation reality and his relationship. The new creation reality and its relationship. And this should be the fourth week, right? Hallelujah, fourth week. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Hallelujah. So then, this instruction, Matthew 28 from verse 18, will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus taught them within the 40 days after the resurrection. Hallelujah. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus taught them 40 days. Hallelujah. So this will be Matthew's summary, and he called that summary, go make disciples. Now, when he uses that word disciples, is the word in the Greek, matitio. Matitio is a word used for, when he says go teach all nations, it's what used for disciples. Hallelujah. Make disciples. One who is an apprentice. Like you have an apprentice, how you put a child in a school to learn. Hallelujah. How you put a child into a school. And you want the child to grow from being a pupil to becoming a scholar. So he said, go raise people that way for him. Hallelujah. So everyone becomes schooled in church. So the church is a place where we are trained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Irrespective of who you are in the society. Hallelujah. Remember I told us that there's no class in church. When you come to church, there's no class. No. I know some people say, rich people used to sit in front. Elders used to sit in front. No, there's no class when you come to church. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. For the sake of, for the sake of honor, we can have some seats reserved for pastors. But you know, we don't have class. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. In Christianity, everyone is a learner. In Matthew 27:56 into 57, we saw Joseph of Arimathea. Bible says he also became a disciple. He's called a rich man. Matthew 27:56. Bible calls him a rich man. So a rich man became a disciple. I mean, a rich man became taught, became schooled under Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, we have also the scribe. And we say a scribe can be likened unto a man who is like a scholar. A scribe is a scholar. Now the Bible says a scholar too is taught. Hallelujah. So in church we are all disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. So Matthew brings that out for us. He said Jesus' instruction was for them to make disciples, to school men. School men. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Men are to be schooled. So when a man gets born again, he is what? A disciple. Not, I am in discipleship class. You know, some people say, I'm graduating from being a disciple. No. There's nothing like that in scriptures. In scriptures, we are all disciples forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They are no longer a disciple, I'm not a pastor. You know, you're missing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everyone is a disciple of Christ. In Mark. Mark took note of something that Matthew didn't point out to that, but it was a bit silent in Matthew. Matthew mentioned the same thing Mark is saying in Matthew in verse 19. He says, he that believes, He's baptizing them in the name of the Father. That is Matthew 28:19. He says, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now we say that word baptizing is not water baptism. It's not baptismal class. No. When you use the word baptizing, it's the word in the Greek baptizo. We're just going to see it now in Mark 16. It will come alive now. In Mark 16:15, he says, and he said to them, go into all the world. Is that, would that be the same thing with what Jesus said in Matthew 28? Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation. So, the, remember what we've been learning? Where is the focus? The whole world, right? The nations of the world. Hallelujah. So, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did you see that? And preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he says, he who believes, and he's baptized. Is that the same word? Yeah, in Matthew 28:19, baptizing them. He who believes, that is baptized. Meaning to be baptized is to believe. It's not water there. It is a he who is water baptized. Hallelujah. So he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who doesn't believe shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. He said they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Hallelujah. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not help them. So they will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Hallelujah. And then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord walking with and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So very important. What Mark focused on is what he who believes and is baptized. So his focus is what the entry point into discipleship. He said he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So when a man believes and is baptized, he becomes a disciple. Hallelujah. He is enrolled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is enrolled into discipleship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at what Luke will say. Luke. The same instruction, but captured differently. Hallelujah. So say, why are they differently captured? If I bring your notes since week one to date, I don't think all of us will have the same thing written in our notes. There are some things I said that another person didn't capture, right? Right? Aha. I will yet going to teach you how to write. You know, most of them, some people don't even know how to take down notes in church. Hallelujah. What you write will be, and I'm yet going to teach you, hallelujah, in our teaching classes, that will be next week or upper week, the fact that how the apostles wrote, what you see them write, is a summary. I've said that before, right? They write in shorthand. In shorthand. I said it during our teaching on understanding the gospel. When we looked at Matthew's rendering of Matthew 22 and Mark's rendering of it, when Jesus said, when they asked him, what is the great commandment of the law, right? And Jesus in Matthew will say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, right? So this is the first we're just going to see. Then Mark will record the same thing in Mark 12, I guess. We'll record it as, yeah, who is the Lord your God is the card. Did you see that? So that means when that question was asked Jesus, Jesus read the whole of Deuteronomy, read the whole of the book, right? Then, listen, read everything, but well, the way they will now write will not be summative. So it's called shorthand. That is why, I want to say something now, but I'll pick it up on Saturday. Now, that is why when you read the four Gospels and the epistles, they can't stand on their own like that. You have to read them with the Old Testament book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because what they are making reference to is what's written in the Old Testament books. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you read the epistles and the four Gospels, you are reading a shorthand, a note of what is storyline. Hallelujah. So, as I'm reading, it's an explanation to something. Just the same way when you have your own new general mathematics, you know, you have questions in front. Some of you jump down to the answer. So you solve from the answer. That's what we do in Bible study. We go to Epistles. Look at this. Rhema. This is Rhema. Let's go to Exodus. This is the law. This is law. But what they are writing in the Epistles, in the Epistles, everything from there. But you are in the answer. Oh, God will God. Now we are shown. So sad. It's there. No. You know? But here is the answer. You know what you are doing. You are like the guy who they gave, who Mrs. Olaleru gave assignment. If you know Mrs. Olaleru, you are saying, you don't know her, he tells me the kind of school you went to. Hallelujah. It means you were schooled where? Inside the bush. Hallelujah. They give you an assignment. Glory to God. Mrs. Olaleru is our math teacher then. Hallelujah. So, you are given an assignment. She can load you with all the assignments. All the assignments in the world. Why are you looking at me? Is it my fault you? Is it my fault you went to Pentecostal school? So you are given like 50 assignments to do within one day, and you don't know how to handle it. You just go to answer, right? You need to solve from the answer. That's what some of us do in our Bible study. Hallelujah. We go right to the answer. So no, the epistle say. He says, I don't look at it from. No, the epistles, nothing wrong. But you know, if you read the epistles, you should read it together with what? The 39 books. Hallelujah. Very important. Glory to God. And that is why we are having the studies we are having. The studies on understanding the gospel, the revelation of God. And the one we are presently having now. Right?
So what we're having now.
Okay, yeah, and the book of Corinth. Now, why are we having these studies together? We're having these studies together so that you'll be able to read your Bible well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You will be able to read your Bible well. So, wherever you see written in the epistles and the four gospels, their narrative, you'll find it in the 39 books called the Old Testament books. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very, very important. So, meaning, when I read, go make disciples, meaning I would see go make disciples in the 39 books. Are you hearing me? Because what you have there is what? A shorthand. So, very important. So, when I get to you, your writing of what I'm teaching today has only written this amount of pages. Can you see the difference? Get the difference? Hallelujah. This is his summary of what I've been saying. This is his summary of what I've been saying. That piece of what is all now, okay, something like this. He has been writing in bullet points. No, he doesn't need to fill up. He has been bullet. He's the summary of what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All what I said is captured in four lines. Are you following me? So you see, different people write different ways, right? Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, that is what is happening here. So what they are writing is a summary. They are summary of what Jesus said within the 40 days. That means Jesus taught them a whole lot. So this is what they summarized it to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. From yesterday, from last week, upper whiskey. Now, how many of you can tell me what I said verbatim? You can. But you know what you can do? You can give me a synopsis, right? Right? You can give me a sum of what I've been saying, right? That is it. Glory to God. Amen. Are you following me? So, Luke and John will write a bit similar. Right? In Luke 24:49. Look at what Luke will say. Luke 24:47. He says, and when he was done teaching, he says, verse 46, let's start with 46. He said, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning as well. So what do you think has been consistent in all this summary that we're seeing? Nations preach, right? Right? Come on now. Are you following me? Nations preach. So that means what you're having is a summary of what they say or what they say. Hallelujah. Say that brothers and mission of sin be preaching his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. He says, and you are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Are you following me now? Look at John 20. He said that repentance and remission of sin be preached. Remission of sin means forgiveness of sin. Look at John 20, verse 21. Just taking from where we stopped last week. Verse 21. And Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Is this the same thing? Hallelujah. So where? So send I you, right? Right? Come on now. Right? Come on now. Listen to me. Hallelujah. And when he had said these things, he breathed on and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He says, he breathed on them. Yeah, we have been explained that also breathed upon. It's not like here on this. No, that's not what he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's not what he did. What he did was that word breathed upon, we say, is an internal work, right? Right? A shorthand for what he taught them. Right? We say that is a shorthand for what he taught them. So John was writing figuratively. When he breathed on them was a figurative expression to tell you what happened to them. They were quickened from within. Hallelujah. And when you read Luke 24, verse 31 into 32, Cleopas and his friend on their way back from on their way to Emmaus, they met Jesus Christ after he was done teaching them. In verse 31, 32, what did they say? They said, didn't our heart burn within us? That is the word. Didn't our heart burn within us when he was opened the scriptures to us? Hallelujah. They did our heart burn within us. So that is what Jesus did. When he taught them, their hearts were open to the word of God. Hallelujah. In verse 44 into 45, he said, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was here to you, that all things must be fulfilled, were written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. Verse 45, Luke 24, he says, and he opened he their understanding that they might comprehend the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He opened their understanding. So that is the breathed upon. He taught them. Hallelujah. Now here is the instruction. The instruction is verse 23 says, if you forgive the sins of any, you are forgiving them. If you repent the sins of any, you are repenting. Now, remember I said the word sins for repent, the word sins is italicized. Hallelujah. Whosoever sins here, forgive is forgiving. Whosoever here repent is repent. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Forgiveness of sins? Say whosoever. Now that doesn't mean you now start saying, I forgive your sin. I hold your sin. No, that's not what he's talking about there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's the same thing with what Luke has said. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means when a man, now bring in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John together, you discover that when a man believes this gospel, when the gospel is preached and a man believes, he receives the Holy Ghost, and that is what the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. That is whosoever sins you forgive is forgiven in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So when a man believes this gospel, when a man believes the gospel, he is saved, his sins are forgiven him. Hallelujah. We're going to see that shortly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what this shows us is that when Jesus says, go preach the gospel, he's telling us we are standing in the stead of God. Hallelujah. We are standing in God's stead. Or rather put, the way I want it to be, the way I suppose you should say it will be, God is walking through us in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. So when a man stands to preach the gospel, it's God walking through that man. Hallelujah. God is carrying out his assignment in the earth by himself through me. Say that to myself. Say that to yourself. God is carrying out his assignment in the earth today through me in the preaching of the gospel. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So last week we saw that the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, we saw that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in a man, is the forgiveness of sins. Did we see that? Let's just look at it a bit. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Ephesians 1 7. Oh, thank you. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Look at what it says. It says, and then to the praise of someone verse 5, say put this also the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the below. Verse 7, in whom, in Christ, hallelujah, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. It says, in whom we have. It is in whom we will be having, or in whom we might have. No, in whom we have. If English any ever means anything to you, it means you already have it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So he said, in him we have the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's saying there. In Christ, what we have is what? The forgiveness of sins. In Colossians chapter 1, quickly. Colossians 1 verse 12. Where we read so often. Colossians 1:12. Are you there? He said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Say,
he has qualified me.
Hallelujah. To be partakers of his inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 13, again. He said, he has delivered us from darkness, from the power of darkness. Are you there? And has conveyed us unto the kingdom of the Son of his love. He said, in whom? Did you see that? Now remember, we said, he has brought us out of darkness into light. And we said that is in the spirit, right? Whatever we said last week. Now if that is this spirit, he now says, in whom? Can we say in the spirit? Right? In whom? Can we say in the spirit? So let's read it like that. In the spirit, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Are you seeing that? Hallelujah. We have the forgiveness of sins. So he's calling the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which is to be born again. He calls it the forgiveness of sins. Are you following me? He calls it the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9. Come on. Let's do fast. I want you to follow me now. 1 John 1:9. Everybody, round down there. 1 John 1:9. Glory to God.
He who has begun a good work in me, he shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Let's continue. 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, people read this as, you have to in sin, just say, oh Father, have you confessed your sin today? No. If you have not confessed your sin today, No. You see, you have to read it well. If John is saying anything different from what Matthew, Mark, and I don't want to call John now because he has said this in John, right? He has said it in John, right? Whosoever sin you forgive is forgiven, right? So I don't want to mention him again. So if John is saying what is different from what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul, if he says something different, that means there's a problem there, right? But nay. He's not saying anything different. Hallelujah. not saying anything different. He's saying the same thing he has said in John 20, 21 to 23. Glory to God. He said, if you confess, I said, what is it? What does it mean? That word confess is the word homologio. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now that word means like you have homologia series, right? To say pari passu, to say in accordance. Right? Right? To say in accordance. So when he says, if we confess our sins, what it means? What it means is get the message, get the teaching on the revelation of God, right? Is it there? The revelation of God? Or the one we did before that? That is the revelation of God. I actually taught that there. Hallelujah. Right? The revelation of God? Or CRC? So go and listen to all the messages I've taught this year. Is there one of them? Hallelujah. I guess it's revelation of God. Is it revelation of God? Right? I guess so. And now I put it somewhere. The word use of the word confession. Okay. Now, using the word, if you compare that word homologio, that word homologio is used for to say, when you say if you confess your sins, now it really means that you confess what God, what Christ has done to sin. Hallelujah. Are you following me? It's not if you confess your sins. No, it means what has Christ done to sin. Hallelujah. So if you do that, it says, he's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all your sins. Talking about the new birth. So what has Christ done to sin? He nailed sin on the cross for me. Hallelujah. He took sin away from me. So he says, if I make that confession of what Christ has done, when did we make that confession? In the new birth. When a man gets saved, that is when he made that confession of faith. Hallelujah. So he says, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. So John isn't writing anything different from what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul have said. Hallelujah. What has God done to sin? God has dealt with sin on the cross. So if I believe that, I have received the forgiveness of sin. That's what John is saying. See, he is faithful and just. Hallelujah. Remember, right here, he wasn't writing even to believers. And he's telling those people, say, if you confess your sin, if you say what Christ has done to sin, what God has done to sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all righteousness. Hallelujah. So when are we cleansed from all our righteousness? In the new birth. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, when we read Jesus' instruction within the 40 days, and what he says, pre-crucifixion, what we would see is that the Spirit of God will be in the believer forever. So that means, if you look at John 14, 16 quickly. John 14, 16. Are you there? Glory to God. 16. He says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. How?
Forever.
How?
Forever.
So that means, forever doesn't mean after a while the Holy Spirit will leave. So that's why, so when does a man receive the Spirit of God? When he gets saved, right? Right? When a man gets born again, he has the Spirit of God. So it becomes very funny when you hear believers gather together and saying, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. How? Are you born again? Yes. What did you receive when you're born again? I received the Spirit. So why am I singing, come, Holy Spirit, I need you? People are crying. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and in your power. Come, 41, in your special way. And then, how? Come to where? Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Oh Jesus, come in today. Coming to stay. How? How? Are you born again? You're not singing sing the right songs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we will sing, come, 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 Oluwa, come. How? How? Oh, you are in a believer's meeting. You are Christian. I say, now let's begin to welcome the Spirit of God. I say, Lord, let's begin to invite God's Spirit. How? How dare you say that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So meaning when I come or wherever I go, I'm carrying the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Ghost moves with me. Meaning everywhere I go, he goes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 28, 26. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, and lo, that word lo means to see. See, I am with you. Glory to God. You need to see that as a believer. Every time. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter whether you feel good or not. The Spirit of God is in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following me? I'm an embodiment of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So everywhere I go, I carry the Spirit. So I don't think, let's invite the Holy Spirit here today. No, I have come with Him. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? I'm a carrier of His divine presence everywhere. So there's some songs you stop singing. Because those songs are not in pari passu with your reality. They are not in line with your reality. Your reality is that the day you got born again, Jesus said, I will give them the Spirit forever. Are you hearing me? Forever. He didn't say for a week. He didn't say for a month. No. He said forever. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I still remember one time like that. This was like in 2008.
I'm here.
Okay, in 2008, I was 2008. One day I was teaching somewhere, not ministry, or teaching in church. minister church,
don't mind me.
Teaching in a classroom or children, and I said something, something about sin, and I talked, and I said, no, what I'm saying is wrong. Hallelujah. It's not in line with my belief. My belief is the fact that when I get born again, I receive the Spirit of God forever. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? I said, it's sin that will make a believer. It's sin will make a believer not to make heaven. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see something shocking. Hallelujah. You get to see. You get to see that the believer doesn't have sin issue. Doesn't have sin issue. No. Glory to God. Are we together yet? Hallelujah. The Bible says he is forgiving forever. So if you have the Spirit of God forever, I would say the Spirit of God is the forgiveness of sins, right? Come on now. You know, some people, their issue is the fact that they see God as a teacher or as a secretary. I mean, I have stuff like that years back. You just think that when you just do something wrong, king. I mean, what kind of song we sing? If we do good, kingdom. You know, songs like that distort your mental thinking. Just think, when you do something bad, angel will be like, Angel Michael! Benji! Asin! And then, my red pen is about to finish. Take this red pen, write his name! Okay, clean it now. He has asked for forgiveness. You think God is a secretary? No, that's not God. Hallelujah. He's a loving Father. Says a loving Father. Amen. Glory to God. So that means we can begin to read all those things again. If I have the Spirit of God forever, that means I have forgiveness of sins forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Means I'm redeemed forever. Hallelujah. Let's read one more thing into that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Corinthians 6. Are you there? Look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. It says, and such were some of you. It says, but you are washed. Say, I'm washed.
I'm washed.
You are sanctified.
Sanctified.
You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. He says, we are washed. We are sanctified, we are glorified, and we are justified. Did you see we are going to be? No, you are washed in the past. Hallelujah.
Praise
glory
God.
To God. Hallelujah. It has happened to us already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means we are not being washed, no. It has happened because of the indwelling of the Spirit. Say, I'm sanctified forever.
I'm washed forever.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means, on the cross, with what Jesus has done in redemption, he has dealt with sin. Are you hearing me? God has dealt with sin. The believer has no sin issue. The child of God doesn't have a sin issue. Hallelujah. Say,
I don't have
a sin deficiency.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Question, before we continue, will be, why do some people act or think otherwise? Why do some people think otherwise? Where they say, no, I don't feel that way. I feel saved. I feel the Holy Spirit that left me. Somebody has told me that, sir, I don't know. Since I left ministry, I don't know, since I've not been too good, I feel the Holy Ghost has left, the Holy Spirit has left me. He has left me, so I'm coming back to him. I'm coming back to him, I want him to come back to him. If you draw close to him, he draws close to us. And I say, I almost called the name of the sister. I say, even when I don't know what I know today, I never thought you that the Holy Ghost will lead you. Hallelujah. I never thought you that. He stays put. The Holy Ghost stays put. Finally. Say glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just look at the children of Israel. In the wilderness, the Bible says they murmured. They were disobedient people. Rebellious people. Stiff-necked. But yet, God never left them. In their stiff-neckedness, in their unbelief, he led them by a pillar of cloud at a pillar of fire. He was with them. Hallelujah. God never leaves his people. God never leaves his people. When you have to read the leading of the Spirit, remember, you see the leading of the Spirit in their pieces. It has a narrative. You go back, you see how God leads his people. God never leads his people. God never leads his people. Are you hearing me? They have done the worst thing. What is the worst thing you can ever commit? God stays put with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He stays put. Something I say, I will teach in this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to teach the forgiveness of sin. I think if I do that, I'm going to teach you on the concept of sin. Hallelujah. Right? I'm getting prepared for it this year. Don't worry. Hallelujah. I'm going to be a long teacher. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 So, why do some people think otherwise? First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. It says, He said, but now we receive. Well, as I start, I would love to read from verse 11. For what man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so the things of the spirit, or even so the things of God, knows no man except the spirit of God. It says, now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know those things which are freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. It says, the things which are freely given to us by God. Meaning, there are things which are with which we freely receive in the new birth. There are things we freely receive. Hallelujah. And Paul writes and said that we might know, that word know. Hallelujah. I do, to come to terms with it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. How do you come to terms? You have thoughts. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 2:10. Come on, I need to follow me now. I need to be fast. Ephesians 2:10. Are you following me? 2:10. He says, for we are his workmanship. He said, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are to walk in them. There are things God has created, has put in place for us that we should walk in them. So this is where the teaching of the word comes in. So that we might know. We might know. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The reason why teaching is the primary meeting in the believer's gathering. The primary meeting in the believer's gathering. Teaching. You are taught so that you will know. You will come to know. You are taught to know. Know the truth. Know. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28:20, they're teaching them. So what would you expose disciples to? Teaching them. To observe all things that I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I'm with you. Teaching them. So teaching becomes primary. Hallelujah. Explaining scripture rightly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Like we said, Luke 24:44, Jesus taught them for 40 days, right? Acts 1:3. Hallelujah. Let's see the effect of Jesus' teaching. Let's see the effect of Jesus' teaching. Right? Let's see the effect of Jesus' teaching. Look at that. Luke 24. Or let's see what happened before Jesus taught them. In John 20:19. John 20:19. Let's see what happened before Jesus taught them. Are you John 20? And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So when Jesus died, they were afraid. John makes us see that they were afraid. So they went to hide. Right? But in Luke 24, remember between Luke 24, Jesus taught them, right? For 40 days. Look at verse 51. After Jesus was done teaching them, look at Luke 24:51. Are you there? When Jesus was killed, at first, when Jesus was killed, all of them, let me use the word, they all jumped back. They all ran away. Bah! And right, they couldn't even come to where they were not there when he was being crucified. Peter denied him 3 times. He's not just denied, he caused the lady, this one girl. Denied. Hallelujah. All of them. All of them ran away. But look at it. He said, now Jesus has taught them 40 days. Look at verse 51. Now it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from there and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. This was what they did not do the first time. When he left their side, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with what?
Great joy.
With what?
Great joy.
With great joy. And were continually in the temple praising I'm blessing God. Amen. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Yes.
Let me read how Mark would put it. Luke says, they return to Jerusalem with great joy. We read Mark earlier, but let me read it again. Verse 20. He said, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word through their company signs. Amen. Did you see that? Did you see that? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, glory, hallelujah. They were afraid the first time. Now, the second time, the moment they left their path, they began to, they were rejoicing and they were preaching everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is the difference? The difference here is that within the 40 days, they have been taught. They've been taught well. Hallelujah. They've been taught well. They've been taught that Jesus lives in them. Hallelujah. They've been taught that the Holy Ghost is in them. Hallelujah. They've been taught. They've been taught again. They've been taught again that the Spirit, who is the union of the Father and the Son, from John 14 where we read, right, abides in them forever. The Spirit abides in them forever. Hallelujah. Remember what he taught them, pre-crucifixion will not be different from what he taught them in the resurrection, right? He just reminded them and now taught them, brought the scriptures together to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that was why they were moved bolder. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, the Bible says they gathered them and flogged them. Do not preach in the name of Jesus again. But you know what? They went louder. Hallelujah. Preaching, glory to God. They went louder. Preaching, glory, hallelujah. Preaching everywhere. Why? Because they know the Spirit of God lives in them. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Let's look at something else. Therefore, in Matthew 28:20, we must pay attention to what Jesus has commanded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pay attention to what he has commanded, for that will be the basis of our teaching. What has he commanded? He says, I am with you. That will be the basis of our teaching. Any teaching that paints Jesus Christ outside the believer, any teaching that paints the Spirit of God or that paints Jesus outside the believer is not a Christ doctrine. Let me say it again. Any teaching, any doctrine that paints Jesus Christ outside the believer, that paints Jesus outside the believer is not the teaching of Christ. Remember I said we'll yet see some things in 1 Corinthians when we begin in our study of the book of Corinth, especially as regards chapter 15, where people think Jesus is going to come from this. Hallelujah. 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 People just disappear. They call you actor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's coming back again. My God is coming back again. This is the way you sing. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. So me and my friend, we don't want to look for trouble. We not added it again. Hallelujah. Come back again, you're going to come back again. Glory to God. He's going to come back again. Jesus never said he's living the earth. No! Look at John 14 very well. He says, in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. He was referring to the resurrection. Now, in the resurrection, look at this, come on. I'm going to show you something. He says, in that day, verse 20, you will know. Are you seeing that? Okay. That I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. You see that? In that day. 23. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? It says, in that day. Now jump down to chapter 20. Come on, let's rush fast to chapter 20. Let me show you something. In that day. Verse 19. Again the same day, at evening, being what? The fourth day. That is the day. The fourth day means the new beginning. Hallelujah. What Jesus said in that day, he said, it at the new beginning. Hallelujah. At the new beginning, you would know I am in the Father. You in me and I. That is the I will come to you. That is the indwelling. Hallelujah. So the indwelling is Jesus is in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. So Jesus lives in me. He lives in me. If he lives in you, then he's in you forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we begin to look at what Jesus commanded as regards the resurrection, right? Right? And we said the indwelling, right? We've spoken about the indwelling. And indwelling brings us to what? Relationship, right? That indwelling brings us to relationship. What relationship? The Father's family. John 14 verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I would say that word house is the word family. In my Father's family. So when a man gets saved, he's born into the Father's family. God is revealed to us as Father, not in any other form, but as a Father. And all through the epistles, which we saw last week, we are called sons. Hallelujah. So it's a family, it's a relationship. So when Jesus said, go make disciples, it's relationship, right? Right? When Moses writes, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it's relationship. Let's make man in our image is relationship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love what the minister said, the pastor said, or a minister said, he said, God was in need of a relationship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's relationship. God is a relationship God. Hallelujah. He's a relational God. If we are born into the Father's family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look at John 14, 15, something very close, 15 rather, John 14, 15, something very close you'll find in all of Jesus' work is that very consistent is the fact that he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see that? You will keep my commandments. You'll find it a whole lot in Jesus' conversation. In John 14, 15, as you've read, his commandment here will be what? What is his commandment? John 14, 1. Let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me also. That is the commandment. So I would say that is what faith in God. Right? 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 So John 14, 15, when he says, if you love me, you keep my commandment, it's faith in God. Have faith in God. In verse 21, verse 21, say he who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Did you see that? And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and will love him and manifest myself to him. So the word manifest is the word that means he will show himself to him. That is the indwelling. Right? Look at verse 23. Verse 23, he says, Jesus will say, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That is the word commandment. And my Father will love him and will come and make our home, our mansion with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here, the word for the commandment is to love God. Hallelujah. And that is what? Faith in God. To love God. That is faith in God. To believe, to be saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, here's what I have in my notes. So, the belief in God can be seen as the love for God. Hallelujah. Love for God. In John 15 verse 10. John 15 10, are you there? In John 15 10, and it's where you see that he's talking about keep my commandment, and he shows it in two forms. Look at verse 10. It says, if you keep my commandment, I will not do it from verses 1 into 5, then I'll jump to 10. Let's read from verse 1. Say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he proves that it may bear much more fruit. So you're already cleansed because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me. You see that? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless you abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Say, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, and without me you can do nothing. Hallelujah. Verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Is that belief in God? Is that faith in God? Come on, is that faith in God?
Yes,
that brings about union? Yes. Are you following me? Look at verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Ah? Yes. Hallelujah. He says something else again in verse 12. Hallelujah. Yeah, he repeats what he said in chapter 13, verse 34. Again, chapter 13, verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. Hallelujah. So as it were, it looks as if John is writing two different kinds of commandments here. First of all, the first one we saw is faith in God, right? Faith in God. Now we are seeing love, that we should love one another. Glory to God. We should love one another. So, what is he saying? Hallelujah. He calls it to love one another. So, what John is writing to us two commandments. That Jesus gave two commandments. Which is what? To love God and to love men. What is implied is that as believers, we are called. Listen, we are called into relationship, right? Into fellowship with God, and also fellowship or relationship with others. Are you following me? We are called into relationship with God and with others. That's what it means. In his epistle, which is in 1 John. Come on. 1 John chapter 4. Let's quickly watch down to 1 John 4. Are you 1 John chapter 4? I'll read from verses 21. Look at what John says. He says, and this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hallelujah. Say, he who loves God must love his brother also. So he shows us, as it were, two commandments, which is what? Love God and love your brethren. Are you following me? But he mentioned that of the brethren, to love your brother, he calls it also. Meaning, the love for God is first, and the love for the brethren will proceed after. Also. Are you hearing me? That is the also. It will follow the love for God. That is to say, our love for one another will follow what we found in God. Jesus was asked that same question in Matthew 22. I need you to pay keen attention to what I'm saying now. Glory to God. We are walking towards the end of today's session. Matthew 22. Are you there? Verse 37. Look at what he says. He says, Jesus said to him, I'll start from verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together and asked, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. Do you see that? This is the, look at what it says. What is the greatest commandment? It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your heart. Is that to believe in God? Is that the love for God? Is that faith in God? That is faith in God. Live with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He doesn't say, this is the first and great commandment. You see that? The first and great commandment. It is, and the second is like it. That is, the second is like unto it. When I say the second is like unto it, meaning the second followed or flowed from the first. Are you following that? The second will come from the first, and which is what you shall love your neighbor as yourselves. So on these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Jesus is saying is that the love for God will precede first, and the love for one another will come from it. Hallelujah. So what has Jesus done? Jesus has summarized for us when he says, on this hangs all the law and prophets. What do we say the 39 books are called? We said the 39 books are called what? The law and the prophets, right? So what Jesus has just said for us is that this summarizes the words of the prophets. Hallelujah. Everything the prophet has written will be what? The faith in God and love for all men. That's the summary of what they said. Hallelujah. The proton and the doulos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we, that means that the love for God, which is faith in God, is the model of our relationship. The love for God, which is faith in God, is the model of our relationship. Model for our relationship. So what do we find in God? We find a forgiving God. So we will model it in our relationship. Are you following me? What do we find in God? A forgiving God. We are going to see something right now. Hallelujah. Have you met Christians that say, I can never forgive you? No, this one, this is unforgivable. Have you heard people say that? See, you're not modeling the relationship of God by saying that. A believer walks in love. Have you seen believers who keep malice? Say, no. I do just like it. I'm a kind of person. I can keep malice in Africa. I have a friend like that in secondary school. Say, I can keep malice with anybody. I can keep malice for 2 years. I don't say. And you're born again. No. It's not becoming of a believer. A believer doesn't keep malice. Hallelujah. Does God keep malice? Is that? So I don't know how this person hurts me. He has hurt my soul. I can't talk to this person. No. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A believer is not that way. Glory to God. Are you following me? You can state your point without keeping money. Are you following me? Don't keep money. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They say, you don't know how this person has helped me. We'll look at that. We are going to learn from scripture how to manage relationships. Hallelujah. I will be better at our relationships. Say, I will be better at all my relationships. Hallelujah. You'll be better. I trust God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means is that the love of God will be reflected in all our relationships. That means as believers, we are saved for relationships. The moment you got saved, the reason why you did not just, after you are born again, you did not just die and die out, is because you are saved to save men, right? And in saving men, you will do what? You will keep and manage relationships. So I'm saved for relationships. Hallelujah. I'm saved to manage relationships. So we are getting our feet into what we're going to be teaching in the coming days and weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that relationship only deals with Christians alone. No. Down to our neighbors. Down to our office place. how to manage relationship in the office, amongst our bosses, our superiors, our juniors, our downline. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How to manage relationships around with people who are not born again. How to manage relationship with Muslims. How to manage relationship with Hindus. You should manage relationships. Hallelujah. In Jesus' days, he lived with people who weren't even, who didn't even believe what he believed. Hallelujah. Even as believers, you have to manage relationship with people who you do not have the same belief system with. And you find them in your workplace. You find them in your house. Hallelujah. And you have to manage that relationship. Glory to God. So let's move ahead. So we are born, we are saved for relationships. So in our walk with men, we'll reflect the Father's nature. The Father's nature in it. Hallelujah. So this will not be seen in the epistles written to the churches. Now, epistles, in the epistles, not just one, in the whole epistles, but in the epistles written to the churches, you will not be told to love God. You will not be told in clear terms to have faith in God, because you already have faith in God. Rather, you will be taught the truth about that love for God, right? You will see the truth. You will get to see the truth about the love for God, which is faith in God, the truth about it, and much more our responsibilities towards men. How we will walk with men, walk amongst men. Therefore, we can call the Bible a book of God's relationship. Are you hearing me? We can call the Bible the book of God's relationship, where we'll find the love of God and we'll mirror it in our world today. We mirror the love of God in our world today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's begin to narrow it down into how to manage relationship amongst brethren, among believers. Hallelujah. Let's begin to narrow it down little by little. How to manage relationship among believers. Among the believers. Glory to God. Among believers. We're going to look into this today and then we'll continue next week. Hallelujah. And move ahead again. Hallelujah. Remember, we said in the new birth, we are born into God's family, where God is the Father, right? Right? So, you saying we are in God's family, it includes everyone's faith. When you say, we are born into God's family, it's not only your local church. Some people, you understand? Some people view every other person in their local church as not being saved, no. When you say we are born into God's family, it means everyone who is saved. Right? Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21, you call Jesus, he said he is the head of the body. When he talks about the word body, it means he is the source of all of us. Hallelujah. He's our source. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The word head means he's our source. The body will include everyone who is saved, not only your local church. Your local church, when you look at your local church is a subset of that body. Your local church is the unit of that body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because in the body of Christ, we are now put in local church. Local churches. Hallelujah. But the body of Christ goes beyond your local church. You must begin to see that clearly. The body of Christ goes beyond my local church. Are you hearing me? Goes to everyone who is saved. Goes to everyone who is saved. The best thing can be a white garment church. Right? Hallelujah. The best thing can be a Catholic church. The best thing can be in a Presbyterian church. Can be in a Baptist church. Hallelujah. Can be in Zoe in Patas, Saints Pavilion. Can be in any church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Once a man is saved, We are all members of his body. Are you hearing? We are all what? Irrespective of your denomination. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, don't allow, this is what I believe in. Be cloud your thinking. Be cloud who you are. Are you hearing me? We're going to get to see some things next week. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as there were men who believed differently. Right? Even in scriptures. But yet they are brethren. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? We see that. Glory to God. In fact, a clear case study for all these our teachings will be the book of Corinth. So, I said it last week that while we are having our teaching on the book of Corinth on Saturday, we should be complementing with what we are teaching on Sunday. Hallelujah. So, a clear example we're going to be focusing on Sunday will be in the book of Corinth, in the church at Corinth. Hallelujah. You can even be in the same, well, wrong. I mean, you can, so we can have different belief systems, different thinking, and yet we are still breaking. That doesn't, so our belief system, what we've come to know in Christ, does not stop what has happened to us in Christ. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Oh, this one is not saved. Why? Because he used to eat only communion. Sure, why not? Are you okay? If I go to a church today and they start the only communion, I will take you well. If I go to a church and they say they are washing feet, I will bring my shoe. Please wash my feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wash it well. Glory to God. You have to understand that. Because what binds us is bigger than all that. We're just going to see that. Hallelujah. We are all. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Quickly. Remember, I said we'll open to 1 Corinthians and make it very well in this section. Glory to God. It was patterned that way. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. I mean, let's start from verse 12. It says, for as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. You see that? We are one body. Hallelujah. We are one body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 13. For in one spirit, okay, anyway, do you have it in your Bible? Therefore, by one spirit, we are all baptized into where?
One body.
One body. Whether what? Jews or Greek. Did you see that? It means no matter what our color is, what our doctrine is, hallelujah, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. Are you following me? Glory to God. Whether Saints Pavilion Church or Celestial Church, once we have those who are born again there, we are all in the same body. Glory to God. Glory to God. Both you that you jelly curl your head and the sister that does not wear trousers, once we are born again, we are in the same body. Glory to God. You know I'm talking like this. You must see yourself first in Christ. Are you following me? Before you begin to look at any other thing, you must see yourself first in Christ. Glory to God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I'm saying this for a reason. I've seen people out there they cannot relate people from, then they are Christians. They are older, they can't relate with other Christians in the workplace because they don't believe alike. They begin to segregate. No! You see yourself first in Christ. Hallelujah. You cannot see this brother every day, every second of the day. Right? You cannot. But you know you also see other brethren that you might not even believe alike, but you must see them as brethren too. Are you hearing me? You must treat them as brethren too. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Even if you are in the same local church today, but does not, I mean, even if you are in the same local church, does not mean you see yourself every time. Right? Aha. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Even if you are seeing yourself every time, we'll begin to wonder. I'll begin to ask questions. For the wisdom, how far, what is happening here? Right? Glory to God. You know, I used to see Bro Timmy morning, afternoon, midnight. Ah! Something is happening though, right? But you will not see him every day. But you know what? You also meet other brethren in the course of your day. And I must be able to relate with them as I'm able to relate with the brother in my local church, with the sister in my local church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That brother that attends Celestial Church of God, white garment, that goes to church without slippers but is born again, and he comes to church and he goes to work and I see him saying, we don't believe in life, well, you are a hypocrite. Hallelujah. He's a brother too. We see that now. Hallelujah. Bible says we are baptized. Hallelujah. Even if the person does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I mean, does not believe in the Holy Ghost living in him forever. You know the people that don't believe in that? The denomination that don't believe in eternal salvation. They don't believe that they are saved forever. They believe they are saved. If they do wrong, no, they are, you know that they do wrong. Ah, I've sinned, I've missed heaven, so I'm now doing second work of grace. But see, because that person is saved, because that person is born again, you must be able to relate to that person as a believer. So we are not known by doctrine first. We are known in Christ first. Are you hearing me? We might differ in doctrine, but we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Paramount. But he used to pray down fire. I just do maraca so to sleep my head. But in your left side, fire! Holy Ghost fire! I mean, I just know, but I'm a terrible old man. I don't know, we are not. Hey, you are in Christ. What do we eat together? Whether the fire or the tongues.
We are in Christ.
You know, there are some people who are believers, but they are taught not to believe in tongues. Are you hearing me? But you know what? Because they are believers, you know what? Put us in Christ. Are you hearing me? They're in Christ first. Leave the... We'll get to handle tongues later, but see, first of all, recognize that person as a brother. Are you following me? Recognize that person first. It does not mean that... See, recognize that person first as a bro. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me hit you with one. I didn't have somebody that said, see, I used to be born again before. Listen. I used to be born again before. The person will tell you. But now, I'm no longer born again. I don't believe in all those born again things. I'm no longer born again. Have you not met people like that? Maybe you've not met. You will yet meet them. There are plenty. Say, I used to be born again before that year. Ah! When I carry Bible for my head. Say, but now, I'm no longer born again. I'm no longer born again. I am now an atheist. Don't run away. If I tell you, I'm now a devil. Don't run away. Because he's just having mental blockage. He's having mental issues. He's a brother. He's a brother. Hallelujah. He's a brother. Leave those things. He has saved once forever. Are you hearing me? Because that is where you first of all see the person before you begin to restore that person back. When you begin to restore that person back, you first of all see the person as a brother. The brother. Are you hearing me? Eh? Glory to God. Another one. I used to be born again, but now, I'm not born again. Why did you say I'm born again? I used to go to Babalawo. I used to see native doctors. I used to use jazz. Laugh at the person. You are a born again believer who uses jazz. Hallelujah. You are born again. You are your brother. Jesus God, you are using. Are you hearing me? You can restore that person. See the person first as a believer. But begin to handle that. No way to God. So people are trying to think it in their head, but I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. Okay, let me tell you one more. You are taking it to your head. Didn't you say salvation is forever? Didn't you say the Holy Ghost is forever? Did you not just say now we looked at the disobedient guy in Egypt, that left Egypt, right? And we said the Holy Ghost was with them also, even if they were disobedient. Abi? We say he never leaves. So how come in your head you are saying that person the Holy Ghost has left? The Holy Ghost is there. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. I met some young guy in school. In school then. So he was just telling me, let's talk. But it was a corpse. I said it was that block.
Yeah, you're born again second year. Leave what you say, they talk.
Court is court. He's calling. Come on! You are born again, yeah, brother. Let's go church. Hallelujah. Go ahead, go. You are born again. You know what? Stop that nonsense you are doing.
Yeah.
Come on, that nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The will see, we see, they will see. Is it dead to me? Nonsense and ingredients. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You see them first as believers. You see, before you now begin to help them, so what's the answer? You know, it will, you know, in years to come, what I'm doing today is I'm laying a foundation. Hallelujah. In years to come, we'll begin to have teachings that will help us how to restore a brother into from all those things. You can have brethren. Why have people gone into occultism? Israel have gone into dance. And you know, with scriptures. Because some of us have seen that person first as a brother. You've seen the person first as a brother. Right? Right? And what do you know? What is the word brother? We get there. Hallelujah. Because you see better as a brother. You know, it will not follow help you how you approach the scripture to the person. Hallelujah. I've met somebody before that knows the scripture more than me. But you know, the person was working in the flesh. Are you hearing me? That was working in the flesh. But before you quote, I quote two. Jesus. So some kind of one, you're not coming to minister to that one as a new combat if you try it. You say, oh yeah, see after me. You know, all this, let me not call it, you say, see after me. I said I'm a sinner. Calm down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, from the point of the fact that if I depend on even knowing the scripture, it's very easy for you to even convince the one. That one. Hallelujah. So just say, okay, let's look at it together. Share Jesus is okay, don't worry, let's look at it together. Look at what Christ has done. Look at what the scripture says. Hallelujah. And you like that, you can restore that person back. You can. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the way you see them first matters a lot. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm going this route because it's not even in my notes. But I'm just like to say this. Hallelujah. You know, you knowing that your parents are believers, but don't know what you know today. And all those fights you've been having with them, you know now you will know how to manage it after this meeting. Hallelujah. You know how to manage it. Rather than doing all those arguments. You see, the moment I got to that, I just stopped those arguments. I used to argue with my mom very well, very well. Carry Bible. We'll be happy. Because you don't believe alike in some certain lands. You know that? We don't believe alike. Especially when it got to tongues. We didn't believe alike for a long time. But I hear someone. I always mean. Hallelujah. So we always have this argument. How many do we fight that? But you know, at the end of the day, we come to time. Hallelujah. But after a while, I stopped it. Stop those arguments. Did you get it? Stop those arguments. Because it's not even profitable. We are at the end of it, we won't even say a word. Look, are you? Show me. No, show me. No, Jesus. And at the end, you know where she went. So you just learned to become, okay, this one, she's born again now. So we can approach it together. Hallelujah. All right, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's look at it together. So we'll look at it together. Because I know what I know is correct. So we'll look at it together. I will teach you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I will teach you. So we'll look at it together. And then we'll arrive at the same conclusion, which is what I'm telling you about. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, because we are baptized into the same, into the body by the Holy Ghost, right? You know, that will now necessitate, why in the book of Acts and also in all the epistles, believers are called brethren. Believers are called brethren. That word brethren is deep. That word brethren is deep. Hallelujah. It's from the Greek word adelphos. It's a word which implies from same source, the same source. Or we say from the same womb. It is used for the Jews. The Jews call themselves brethren. Adelphos. To show that they are from the same origin. Who is Abraham? That they are from Abraham. So they call themselves brethren. Hallelujah. Believers also call themselves brethren. To show that we are from the same womb. The same source. Which is the resurrection. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So we are from the resurrection, right? Hallelujah. We are from the same source. From the same source. The same source. You know, if you know that you and another brother, you are talking about what you believe differently, maybe your doctrinal persuasion, but you know that you are brethren. You know, it will affect how we relate. Glory to God. It will affect our relationship very well. Very well. Very well. Glory to God. Look at it. Acts 9 verse 17. Paul, who is also called Saul. Remember I said God did not change his name. One is Greek, one is Jewish name, while the other one is what? Greek. Hallelujah. So it's not God saying, hey, you saw, not now, you need to change your name for the blessing of God to stay. It's not true. Hallelujah. The girls are going to say those kind of nonsense. Change your name. As I will have made mistakes, go and change my father's name and be disowned. Acts of Apostles chapter 9, verse 17. Saul or Paul, before now, was going to Damascus. What was he doing? What was he going there to do? To deal with the Christians, right? Right? His own is a Christian Aram. Hallelujah. He was, or is it Boko Christian, what do we call it? His own is to capture Christians, put them in prison, torture them. In fact, what we will see next week is that he was the one that actually consented to the death of Stephen. Stephen a martyr. Stephen a believer. Stephen full of the Holy Ghost in Acts of Apostles chapter 6. In Acts of Apostles chapter 7, into chapter 8. In chapter 7 towards the end, Stephen was killed. Paul was there consenting to the death, meaning he was in charge, he was the commander in chief. Hallelujah. In chapter 9, he was there. He was sent to go and deal with the children of, or how does the children of Israel, the Christians in Damascus. But on his way, hallelujah, on his way, he had an encounter. And in that encounter, glory to God, after that encounter, he got saved. Glory to God. Now, Ananias, a brother in church, just like Robin G. So in verse 17, God has spoke to him. I mean, verses 15 or so. God spoke to him and told him to go straight up to meet Paul. Right? Let me have it back. Straight up to meet Paul. So, let's look at that. Verse 17. You know, at first, when he heard it, he was about to, but like, is it not, you know, you say, God, is it not that say, that you can't meet him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I've heard of this man, but said, how much he evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. Did you see? Is it not this man Saul? Is it not this same guy? And yet, he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said to him, go your way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me. Hallelujah. Because he says now, hallelujah, that Saul is a chosen vessel unto him, which is Paul, the chosen vessel unto him. Hallelujah. To bear witness, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings. Now, when the Lord told him this, what was the first way he addressed Paul when he saw him in verse 17? And Ananias went on his way and entered the house and putting his hands on him said, what did he call him? What did he call him? Brother Saul. That's the word Adelphos, brother. He called him what? Brother Saul. That name believers call themselves. So he extended that name to him. Someone who has a very bad past. He says no. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. Hallelujah. Call him Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Hallelujah. He called him brother. Look at verses 29. Look at verse 29. So, he called him brother. Then Saul went into Damascus. Where he was supposed to go and capture people, went there to preach. Hallelujah. Verse 29. And spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Which when their brethren knew, they brought him out. I mean, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. You see that? Hallelujah. They brought him out. Brethren, hallelujah, had to save him. Glory to God. They didn't say, look at that guy. God wants to deal with him. Let's align him. His cup don't fool. Let them kill him. But no. No. Hallelujah. The brethren saved him. That is the work of brethren. From the same source. Are you following me? They quickly what? Helped him out. Look at chapter 14. I mean chapter 17. Quickly. Chapter 17. Are you there? Verses 13. He said, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. Did you see that? The brethren came immediately. That's the word of his brother. The work of his brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are from the same source. So therefore, I should protect your interest. Hallelujah. Are you following me? I should do what? Protect your interest. Are you following me? Glory to God. Things are not going on well with another brother. With another brother. You are hearing people planning evil for another brother. And you know that person that planning evil for you is a brother. And you get quiet because no, it's not in my church. Yeah, it's like Shemi, they say you should be speaking in tongues, not speaking in tongues. Does he know the Holy Ghost? He doesn't. But you know he's a brother. But you know he's saved. You know he's saved. You know he's saved. Hallelujah. Help out. Hallelujah. That was what happened to Paul. Brethren saved him. Hallelujah. So as a believer, you have a duty of care for other brethren, for other believers. We'll look at a long lot next week. Hallelujah. We have a duty of care for other brethren. We have a duty of care. We are the people of God, called by His name, called out of darkness into His light. One holy race. Since everyone, are you hearing me? Just say, I could have helped Philip if he was in my local church. But I've been invited to a local church. You say, what are you going to do? Sure. How can I help you? No! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen. We are believers. Amen. Look at Peter in Acts 12. When Peter was taken into prison, who prayed for him? The church, the brethren. Hallelujah. So we have that duty for one another. Hallelujah. It's something we yet see. But as we close, remember I told you that everything you find in the book of Acts, or I mean the four gospels, book of Acts and their pieces, have their narrative where? In the 39 books, right? What that means, I could go back and look at the concept of brother, the concept of brethren from the 39 books, from Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember we say Moses holds the vocabulary, right? So I can go back and look at Moses and see the concept of brethren and then come back and read it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when Jesus showed us something, though he was speaking ahead of time, while he was with his disciples, a new thing that his mother and his brothers were outside looking for him, right? But what was his reply? He said, these are my brothers and my sisters, those who stay doing my work. Hallelujah. Doing my will. He said it ahead of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are brethren. We are devils. Look at Genesis 13 as we close. And we'll take it out from here next week. Genesis 13. This is. We have Abraham and his brother Lot. There came a time that Lot was big, Abraham was big. They had servants, they had people. Right? Right? They had workers. They had... So, there was now fight. There was now strife among Abraham's servants, headsmen, and Lot's headsmen. Look at verse 11. Verse 8. That's all of verse 7. And there was strife between the headmen of Abraham's livestock and the headsmen of Lot's livestock, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, "See, please, let there be no strife. Let there be no strife. Let there be no contention. Let there be no strife between you and me. Between my headsmen and your headsmen. Say, for we be brethren." Did you see that? "For we be brethren. Many we are from the same source. Let there be no strife." See, there's something from the fact that we have our own grown bees and say, let there be no strife. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means men who are from the same source should have no strife. Have no strife. Look at verse 11. The same word was used there. It says, "Then Lot chose for himself a plain Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated from each other." The Hebrew have it like this, "and they separated from brotherhood." There was strife. There was strife. Lot allowed strife. Where Abraham had given us the concept of our therefore, of brotherhood. He says what? "Let them be no strife amongst us." If we see believers as brethren, there should be no strife between us. Hallelujah. There should be no strife between us. No, sir. No, we are brethren. Hallelujah. 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 I wrote in my note as we close, a believer shouldn't be in quarrel with other believers. A believer shouldn't be in quarrel with other believers. No. No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't be in quarrel with other believers. We shouldn't allow strife stay. No quarrel here. No strife here. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I should keep a bond of peace with fellow believers. Glory to God. We explore more as regards how we manage relationship with believers next week. Let's be on our feet. And just thank him. Let's be on our feet and thank him.